I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of The Memo on this Monday, March 28th, 2016, the day after Easter. Hope everybody had a lovely Easter weekend. Kids are still out of school. They got 2 days off. At least my kids did. I'm Brad Locke with Derek Russell. Derek, how are you doing?
How was your Easter?
It was fine. How was yours?
I was here for about 12 hours.
That's why you seem a little bit frazzled and tired.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, just being honest.
I just got
you did a lot of work.
Splinter out of my hand that has been in there for about 2 weeks.
Wow. Just now.
Just now.
Big day.
While we were starting. I mean, let's drop the streamers.
You want to clean up that blood later?
That's fantastic.
Nice. Well, maybe you'll be feel
better
about life.
That's been bugging me. That's a win. We're going to put that in the win bracket.
That'll help your Monday get better.
My bracket may have busted, but that made it better there.
Yeah, seriously.
I hate my bracket, but I hate that. It's so stupid.
What's stupid?
Nobody cares about your bracket.
Oh, I know.
Nobody.
Nobody does.
Nobody. Nobody but you.
Exactly.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know what you mean.
It's fun to do one, but keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Although we did discuss it this morning over in the cubicle farm.
That's fine. But I can't.
But of course,
then social media is just my bracket busted. Well you know
so
what?
Is everybody. After the Michigan State game, everybody's bracket is busted.
You talk about it, and that's what you get.
Syracuse is in the Final Four. Your bracket's I can't say it now. Your bracket's busted. Bracket's busted.
Be careful. You may say something that doesn't need to be said.
Chris has the edit.
Got that 7-second delay.
Bleep button there.
Got that Academy Awards delay on you. Got that Chris Rock button going.
Chris Rock button. Oh, boy.
It's a big day. I'm sorry. That's all I'm saying. I got that
splinter. I'm glad you got that splinter. You seem to be in a better mood already.
It's been bugging me.
In the couple minutes we've been on the air since you got that out. You just kind of seem like you're a dragon after a long day yesterday.
Yesterday was a long day. I'm not going to lie. But I got a lot done. So
that's a good feeling. Thing. Yeah.
Nobody blew anything up yesterday or did anything to my knowledge, did anything they shouldn't have done. So.
If they did, we'll find out today.
Yeah.
That's what William Moore is for, our crime reporter. There was a fire this morning.
I saw that.
Yeah.
House fire.
Out in Lake Piamingo.
That'll happen.
Looked pretty bad. So, fires happen. They're no good. What we got on the show today, Derek? We got Bobby Harrison.
Bobby Harrison, Thomas Wells, Emma Kent.
Emma Kent.
Wacky crime.
Crime reports. We got crime reports for
you. Got a good one for me?
Oh, I got some good ones, buddy. We've got more people in the woods.
back.
Well, there's so much for that splinter being the win for the day. Now I'm going to be
I don't think they were wearing
this.
White this time, but we still got people out in the Moorville Woods. I don't know what's going on out there. It's crazy.
Somebody needs to investigate this.
Sounds like, something. One of us needs to get
no,
to
I didn't
story
mean
on
one
this.
Of us. No,
no somebody out there.
Well, I didn't mean a reporter needed to investigate it. I meant like
I don't know,
an
I think,
old priest and a young priest, something. I don't know, something.
I think William could follow him out there and do a story, see if they can exorcise the demons from the woods.
We might not see William again if he follows them.
Well, that's
there.
The risk you have to take when you're doing journalism.
That's a high risk.
Hey, but if it comes up with something huge, Pulitzer.
Thomas Wells' body armor.
Oh, yeah, Thomas still has the body armor. I don't know if that'll do any good against ghosts or whatever's out there.
It's been how long? What 99 would have been, 17 years ago? It's been that long since Blair Witch.
Has it been that long?
I'm still not fully recovered.
Yeah, I didn't see that till several years after it came out. So I didn't get maybe the full experience. Apparently, some people thought it was like real footage.
Well, but there were all these documentaries around the time. Like A&E was running all this stuff, proposing that it was real. I mean, they were fake, but
yeah. They
didn't say that at the beginning. They never said you had to watch the credits at the end and say this is all
right. Entirely
fictitious. So everybody,
it was definitely
there
well
were
done.
These dimwits, that actually thought this was a real thing, and I think that's why it captivated.
Yeah.
So many people.
Yeah. It was a good movie.
It's still unsettling.
It is.
Unsettling in that you're still dizzy from watching it.
True.
That doesn't get to me too bad, honestly. In some instances.
Although there's a new movie.
It could have been like 3D or something.
Talk about a movie that might make you dizzy. I just saw the trailer for this yesterday, and I can't remember the name of it. But it looks like basically an action movie where the main character
Hardcore Henry.
It's
all first person.
Basically, he's got a GoPro strapped to him the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it looks cool, but it looks like it would make you nauseous.
It looks like a video game. All you see is his hands. And it's all first person.
I mean, it looks well done, but I just don't know if I could sit through that.
Batman and Superman was a little shaky.
I meant to ask you about that. How was that? Mixed reviews on it.
I went and saw it.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I didn't see you
post anything. So Thomas coming in here.
I didn't see you post anything on Facebook about it, which tells me maybe you didn't think it was great.
I'm trying not to do the Facebook much right now. I'm actually thinking about deleting the Facebook.
Deleting the Facebook?
Yeah.
Why? And how are we going to see pictures of your cute kid?
I don't know. Come by sometime.
You've got Instagram, though, right? Thing.
I'll show you. Here's the child. Now go away. Wait till you shave that. Then you can come over.
No, I got to shave this before I come over.
You got to be done with that.
Your wife would have none of that.
How's your
baby? I'm just guessing here. I don't know what you're
costume
asking.
Costume coming.
Oh, my costume. Well, the baby's
How's
fine.
How's your baby?
She's fine. We were talking about kids, so. Costume's coming along. I've got some boots for sure now. I think I might have a vest coming. Both from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently my dad, I mean, he's...
This is for a Western we're in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, the play up in Baldwin. My dad doesn't like go around dressed like a cowboy, but he's got some sweet boots that fit me, and he says he has a vest that might work. I got the jacket. It's a sweet, one of those long... It's called a duster.
Yeah.
One of those long black coats. Like you see him wearing Tombstone in other movies.
Yeah.
Highlander. After the play's over, I may just wear that every day if it's cold enough.
I was going to say, when the play's over, it's going to be like 90.
True. But I'll save it for next winter.
Okay.
It'd be pretty sweet.
Well, just say shave that. Don't keep that until next winter.
I need pants and a cowboy hat. Anybody out there has a black cowboy hat, about size 7.5, because I got a big head?
I can't get a good hat either. I got a big head.
I got to go out to Scruggs or somewhere. I don't know where to get one.
I went to borrow somebody's for tonight. Got to have my picture made tonight.
Really? Yeah. Mm. Well, I'll get mine made at some point, perhaps. I think I'll have the rest of my costume by Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm.
So
good times.
We'll see.
All right. April 7th.
April 7th through 11th. Mm-hmm. Five shows. Hopefully I'll have my lines down by the fifth one. Ah.
I hope you have them down by tonight.
Yeah, I think I do. I could not go to sleep last night because I kept running through them in my head the whole first act.
I always try to prompt you, but the only prompt I can think of is, Mary, where's Mama?
Is that one of the
prompts? Yeah.
I don't think that's one of my cues. I don't think so.
I think it is.
I think it's right after that.
Go back to your room, kid.
No, it's after he says something about going to San Francisco. Then I say, go back to your room.
I don't know. I kind of drown.
That's the hard part. The hardest part about this is the first time I've done a play, not learning the lines.
I kind of...
It's getting the cues and basically the as they call it, the blocking, or the where you're supposed to be, and not turning your back to the audience.
I kind of don't pay attention when you're on stage.
Of course you don't.
It's the mustache.
Mesmerized by it.
No, it's just look away. It's like the Ark of the Covenant.
All right. Let's do a podcast here. Why don't we? Let's go down to Jackson and welcome in Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. Bobby, welcome back, sir.
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well. Hope you had a good Easter weekend. Back at it with the legislature this week, today, Bobby, and... Well, I guess we'll see if they can get along any better. Last week marked by a good bit of fighting, I guess we'll put it that way. People not getting along, but then at the end of the day, I guess they're still like taking selfies with each other and liking each other's Facebook posts or what have you. Kind of the nature of the beast sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to have a sort of a thick skin in politics and sort of a split personality, and you could say that about the House, and that they can be fighting one minute and then the next minute during a break they're laughing and jovial and taking selfies with each other, and so it's just kind of you could say they're just real mature in that way. You could say they're sort of like grade school kids who fight one minute and play the next.
One point of contention, we've had the Democrats wanting to have bills read through that computerized system as a kind of a form of protest. They're upset about certain bills. Philip Gunn has kind of also upset the Democrats, I don't know if you'd call it a take his ball and go home kind of thing, but he's saying that his rulings can't be appealed. Kind of feels, what exactly led up to all that?
Well, you know, this sort of almost goes back to about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were having bills read on another issue,
right,
on the redistricting of the Supreme Court districts. The black legislators particularly felt that it was redistricting in a way that was not favorable to electing African Americans, and that led to a fight. And that bill, by the way, did die in the Senate, which was part of the, allegedly part of the deal that the Speaker made to get the train back on the track. But as part of that deal, the black Democrats, particularly the Hinds County Democrats, said the Speaker agreed to make sure that a bill would die coming over from the Senate that would pretty much usurp a lot of the power of the Jackson City Council, the Jackson government, over the Jackson Medgar Evers International Airport, and the bill would give it the power to a regional board instead of the Jackson City government. And the Speaker said he never made that deal. I mean, I don't know, probably the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but the bill did come up in the House, did pass out of committee in the House, is on the House calendar. So when that bill appeared on the House calendar to be taken up on a Wednesday, I guess, the Hinds County Democrats, African-American Democrats, all immediately started requesting bills be read, which is their constitutional right. And the House uses a computer reading application to do that. And they had it turned up full blast. And you'd have to listen to it to believe it. You can't understand a word being said. It's like a chipmunk on speed or something other. And it went on. Jay Hughes, an Oxford Democrat freshman who doesn't care. I mean, was not really a participant in the fight over airport, felt it was not right the way the bills were being read, so he went to court to try to block it. He was ultimately unsuccessful. And what you were referencing was, I mean, there's been a lot of parliamentary maneuvering and fights, just too many to account all of them. But at one point, the Speaker made a ruling on a point of order raised by Bryant Clark, a member from Holmes County, and when the Speaker ruled against Bryant Clark, it might have been Clark himself, but somebody asked to appeal it to the ruling to the chamber, which is a normal parliamentary process. It doesn't happen often, but it's part of the rules that if you don't like the presiding officer's ruling, you can ask the whole chamber to vote on it. It's kind of a nuclear option, but the Speaker said, after long delay, said his rulings were final, which kind of shocked everyone, especially when you go back to the House Journal and look to in April 2011, the then Speaker Bill McCoy ruled against a point order made by then House Member Philip Gunn, and someone asked to appeal that to the full chamber. So in this particular case, I guess what was good for the goose wasn't good for the gander. So that kind of just is par for the course for the past latter part of the week. And
yeah,
they come back in, you know, they had to work a long time on Good Friday, then they had to work. Well, there was talk they were going to work on Saturday, but they got enough done on Friday that they're coming back at 1 o'clock this afternoon to start. They got a deadline of to get all these bills off the calendar by Wednesday night. So if the Democrats continue reading bills this week, they may have some long days ahead of them.
All right. Well, you can check out that story in Sunday's Journal and at djournal.com. Now let's talk about firing squads, Bobby. Always a pleasant subject. there is a bill there that's designed to kind of to keep secret the identities of the suppliers of execution drugs, and this has kind of been an issue in several states where, you know, I think some companies are deciding not to supply those drugs because of the bad PR, and so if you can keep their identity secret, they'll keep supplying them, not having to worry about a PR hit. But within that bill, there's an amendment to allow firing squads. Now, why was that amendment included?
Well, the amendment was offered on the House floor by a freshman from DeSoto County, Foster, I think is his
Robert
name.
Foster, yes.
Robert Foster. It was offered, and it was while they were working late on Good Friday, he offered an amendment that if the, and the, as you referenced, there's been a shortage of those drugs in part because of companies that manufacture them have taken the PR hits, and they don't want to supply them to the states anymore for executions, or they're less willing to.
Yeah.
And so he offered an amendment that if the drugs were not available, the state could use a firing squad for its executions. And that amendment passed overwhelmingly Friday, and is now part of the bill, which goes back to the Senate. The Senate can concur and send under the governor or invite conference. The bill is controversial anyway in that it has it encompasses what we in the media are familiar with, but a phrase that maybe the most common folks, regular folks, or everyday folks aren't familiar with, called prior restraint.
Yeah, those are dirty words in the media business.
And that it not only it the bill attempts to keep secret the identity of the suppliers and also the execution team, and even the victim's family and the accused family from being put in the being reported, and there's a penalty for any news outlet that reports those names. Now you can, you know, I mean, I think most media outlets, if the family member said, I don't want my name in the paper in those particular instances, unless there was some overriding reason, would honor that request. But, you know, generally speaking, there's been a bunch of Supreme Court rulings saying that the government cannot tell a media outlet what to publish or to report. And so that bill is controversial from that aspect also. So it's we'll see. I mean, if the bill passes, it would, you know, some people would argue that the legislature is passing a lot of bills this session that are going to face court challenges. So we'll see where that goes if it's signed by the governor.
Yeah, I mean, there's some other states that have, I guess, a similar law, don't they, Bobby? I mean, this would not be unique to Mississippi necessarily.
Yeah, but I understand. I mean, I haven't researched this, but just sort of secondhand, I understand that in Missouri, the prior restraint portion of the bill has been overturned by the courts there in Missouri.
Right.
Which was, by the way, that when they were passing the bill on the House floor, that was the state and the law they kept on referencing, that the law of Mississippi was patterned after the Missouri law, which, by some accounts, portion of that law has been overturned by the courts.
Yeah. Okay. Firing squads. I don't know. Say what you will about capital punishment, but I think a firing squad would at least be quick and effective, if nothing else. Give them a blindfold and a cigarette and go to work.
Go to work, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that would, as I understand the way the firing squad works, only one guy has the bullet, and you don't know who that person is. And is that the way you understand it, Brad?
Yeah, I think I've heard that too. I think
you researched that.
I mean, some people think that the death penalty is barbaric anyway, but, you know, I think firing squad, a lot of people would put that right up there with the gallows. That they just think that's like more barbaric than normal. Again, that's not me speaking. That's just, you know, that you're going to hear that from the opponents, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, that's obviously the reason that, you know, that's what we, I guess, that was regular type execution of some types at some point in our country's history. And that's why we kind of don't do that anymore, because it was, you know, found to be barbaric. And I guess in some instances, not a quick death. So, but Mississippi is at least toying with the notion of a firing squad.
Well, interesting. We'll see where that goes. You can read that story, by the way, in Saturday's Journal or at djournal.com. Bobby, appreciate your time as always, man.
All right. Y'all take care.
You too. If you want to hear more from Bobby Harrison, watch the Daily Journal's Capital V webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Bobby will provide commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday around 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session, so look for a new episode this afternoon.
All right, Emma Kent joining us now to discuss Senate Bill 2438, which would mandate that all school superintendents be appointed by the district school board. A major change like this would affect local school districts such as Lee County Schools, 11 different ones in the area. Why is this important to these school districts?
Well, right now the superintendents are elected, and so they'll be allowed to finish their term because they were just put into their position in November in the election. And so they'll be allowed to finish, which will be, I think,
2019.
Yeah. But at the end of their term, the school board can say, okay, we want to appoint you and keep you as our superintendent, or they can open the search and look for someone else to bring in. So, and really talking to local elected superintendents, they weren't super concerned about it. They kind of agreed, you know, there's pros and cons to it, like with anything else. But I think if you're a superintendent and you have a good relationship with your school board, but you're elected, I mean, hopefully they would appoint you when it comes time to do that.
Another interesting factor, this would be able to appoint anyone to the office regardless of where they live.
Right. So, so right now if you're an elected superintendent, you have to live in the school district. And so that kind of limits the candidates that you can bring in. And it maybe not so much isn't problematic here in the north part of the state where we do have kind of better school districts. But I mean, like if it's an elected superintendent, you can't, I mean, you have to bring somebody in who's local. And so, but you might, the schools might do better if you bring someone from the outside who can really help those schools. So the idea is that being able to appoint someone from anywhere, bring in an outsider who might do really great things, is you're helping the schools get better.
And changing up whether or not this is public vote, left to public opinion. Right. You spoke to a lot of former and current superintendents that have been both, that have either been appointed by a school board or voted in. What's kind of the common denominator between those that you were talking to them?
I mean, they generally agreed that, you know, the appointed superintendents is a good thing, just based on the fact that you can bring in someone from the outside. You're not limiting that pool of candidates. But, they also said it's, some people might feel like their vote, their voice is being taken away in selecting who leads their kids' schools. So, I mean, there's both sides of it. But you know, if you're an elected superintendent, you have to campaign and you have to spend money doing that and time and energy. And so cutting that out of the process, I'm sure, makes that easier, that job easier. So all of them agreed there's pros and cons to both, but generally I think the appointed superintendents is a good thing.
So it's sort of going from court of public opinion, vying for votes, versus applying for a job.
Yeah.
It's kind of the major shakeup. Yeah. And, of course, like I said, this mostly affects county school levels. Tupelo, obviously, has been practicing this for
a long time.
So should this go into effect, it will affect the county schools in our area.
And most Mississippi schools already do this. I mean, there's only 55 school districts that still have elected superintendents. So it's already the thing to do, I guess, or it's already the thing that most people are doing. So I don't think it'll be I don't think people have a big issue with it.
It'll just make the election night coverage go a little shorter, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Emma, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Derek.
Need to remind you all about the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal and djournal.com. We've got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes every Wednesday, and you can watch the webcast. We do that most Wednesdays at djournal.com and listen to the podcast at preprally.djournal.com. You can also access it for free on iTunes or your podcast apps. And every Thursday, double coverage with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford, Mississippi State and Ole Miss Sports Talk. Those guys, you can hear them at doublecoverage.djournal.com on iTunes or your podcast app. All right, let's check out today's news memo. And for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Tupelo School Board approved several administrators who will step into new positions next school year. Current Lawhorn Elementary Assistant Principal Ryan Curry will become the school's principal. He will replace Corliss Curry, no relation, who has been named the district's Director of Federal Programs. Parkway teacher Morgan Abraham will become assistant principal at Lawhorn. Meanwhile, Tupelo High teacher Adra Sparkman will become assistant principal at Rankin Elementary. Larry Harmon will become the district's transportation director. He replaces Lee Stratton, who will retire at the end of the school year.
A second Mississippi resident who traveled to Haiti has tested positive for the Zika virus. The Mississippi State Department of Health on Friday confirmed a Noxubee County resident had become ill with the mosquito-borne virus. First case was reported Thursday in a Madison County resident. The virus is typically mild and rarely fatal. Symptoms include fever, joint pain, rash, and pink eye. Virus is a bigger threat in pregnant women and has been connected to birth defects. Both the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control are advising pregnant women and women who may become pregnant to avoid travel to countries with active Zika outbreaks.
Clint Gannon was elected chairman of the Lee County Democratic Party last week. He replaces outgoing chairman Richard Cotton. Gannon is a 24-year-old doctoral student in political science at the University of Mississippi. He ran unsuccessfully for a state House seat last November. Gannon said the county party needs to do a better job of supporting its candidates and building the party through a grassroots effort. The Eggville resident emphasized the importance of strong support for public education.
Construction is moving along on the shops at Tupelo. The 6,500-square-foot retail center will be anchored by Starbucks and Salsarita's Fresh Cantina. Both are expected to be open in July or August. The center is being built in front of Lowe's on North Gloucester Street. A 2,000-foot space in the middle of the retail center has not yet been filled.
Amory held a celebration on Saturday for American Idol finalist and Amory native Trent Harmon. Camera crews from the show darted through the crowd to film Harmon as he rode in a downtown parade. The musician also held an evening concert at Amory High School. Harmon is among the four finalists vying for this year's American Idol title. He will compete again on Thursday. Harmon is a waiter at his parents' Longhorn restaurant. He hadn't stepped foot in Amory since January. Read Sunday's Daily Journal for more coverage of the events.
And, of course, all these stories can be found online as well at djournal.com, where you can also find Thrive Marketing at thrive.ms. It's a full-service digital marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses.
Let's welcome Thomas Wells into the show now, Chief Photographer Thomas Wells. What's up,
buddy?
Good
morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Hi. It's too early. I have no idea. Ask me at 5 and I'll tell you then.
Have a good Easter?
Yes, I cleaned the house all weekend.
That doesn't sound like any kind of fun.
No, and then
Easter
I had to
weekend.
Work too. So, well, it's better than, you know, some people have. So,
my wife cleaned the house some.
You could have sent her over to my house when you were done.
I sort of helped a little bit. We've got you in here to talk about an Easter-related thing, the In Focus photo essay in today's journal. You can find it as well at djournal.com. Find a lot more photos, in fact, online. It's about Easter egg hunting, Thomas. And, of course, every year at Ballard Park, they have that Easter egg hunt for small children. And, well, I mean, adults are there, too, to help guide the children.
Yeah, the adults do more picking up than the children usually do, smaller children.
Yeah. I guess no fights broke out, though, right?
No fights.
Pez has an annual Easter egg hunt every year. The Pez dispenser, a huge one, runs like hundreds of thousands of people. And they called it off 5 minutes into it this year because the parents were shoving each other and pushing them down and cheating to get the kids eggs.
Parents are the worst.
It was funny because as soon as they dropped the rope on the age division, a couple of the younger age divisions, the parents did more rushing out to pick up eggs than the children did, and it was...
Bobby needs to get the most eggs.
Yes, and you know,
his feelings will be hurt.
It was sad.
He'll cry.
It's fun. It's fun to watch.
Oh, I bet.
Thousands of eggs literally be picked up in less than a minute.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're shooting this, like you were taking pictures, you've got to be quick.
Quick, and to be able to figure out which photos you're going to use and go track those kids down after it's over with and get their names.
Oh, that's fun, too.
Oh, my gosh, that's a nightmare.
That's always, to me, I've always thought that had to be one of the toughest parts of your job is like in something like this or you're dealing with a crowd of people or whatever, finding that person and getting their name.
Yes.
Because you have to have that info.
It always happens. It never fails. You shoot a picture. You're getting ready to walk over and get that person's name, and then you look over for what's what we do. We keep looking. You look over and you say, oh, that picture's even better. I'll go ahead and shoot that one, and I'll get their name in just a second. And as soon as you shoot that picture, you turn around, and the first one's gone. And you're like, where?
And it's a bunch of little kids. I mean, you can't really necessarily pick them out that easily.
You know what they should do? And I would love it because it makes my job easier.
Put numbers on them?
Like a marathon. Put a number on them where you can go, hey, what's number 416?
Have them sign up. Register. That would make your job a lot easier.
That would be awesome. But, awesome. I mean, because I sat there and waited an hour and a half, shot all the preliminary stuff because I knew in less than a minute, if you got three or four photos out of that in less than a minute, you were doing good.
Yeah, you did have some preliminary stuff of them just putting the eggs out. It's called an egg hunt. You're not
hunting. Really hunting.
They're not hidden.
They're basically bulldozing eggs is what they're doing. They're just raking them in.
That's why I never hardly took my kids to those. We preferred to have them at our place where we could like spend 20 minutes hiding the eggs.
It's like picking up golf balls over the driving range.
I'm waiting for the kid to show up with the rake in his hand. I mean,
or a vacuum cleaner,
a rake and a five gallon garbage bag. Have mom and dad hold it, and you start raking them into the bag, man. You can just
yeah, 200 eggs in less than a minute.
We killed it this morning, boys.
Oh, but one of the good things about this is that every picture you take is going to have really cute kids in it, and you can't go wrong with cute kids, Thomas.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. Unless they're my kids, and they'd be the ugly kids out there. So.
Well, they do. They're not as cute the older they get.
No, they're more of a pain in the rear end.
Yeah, they are.
And they're much more of a demand, as every parent knows. But this was fun. They always is.
So what all goes, I don't know if you talked to anybody much about this, just what all goes into it. I know they had some Ole Miss students volunteer, and you got all these eggs, which I assume have something in them, candy. Or
yeah, they have candy, depending on the age and they're age appropriate. But they also had, you know, bouncy toys for the really young children, and they had free hot dogs, popcorn, sodas.
Right.
You know, everything after the event. They had face painting for the kids. A magician there from Oxford who was doing, you know, balloon toys and all that kind of. I mean, it was fun for the whole family.
There you go.
Yeah,
that was
the only thing missing was a beer garden, but it was early on Saturday morning.
Easter egg hunt and Easter egg hunt, beer garden.
You know,
for those dedicated
fathers.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they had a beer hunt.
Yeah, beer hunt. That's right.
And after the Easter egg hunt, need the moms and dads to
roll
come
your
over
sleeves
here.
Up. Yeah, it was funny. I've never seen anything get picked up so fast in my entire life. I can't get my son to pick up his room in less than a week, and they just.
Yeah.
I should call him Easter eggs is what I should call it, all of his clothes. Maybe that would
work. I think
he's
too old to get fooled
by
that.
That's pointless.
Yeah. All right. Thomas, good work there as usual, and appreciate you taking a minute.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, it wouldn't be Monday if we didn't wrap up with some sort of wacky crime scenario. So, Brad, hit us with what you got.
Oh, we got some good ones, Derek.
I don't want to talk about the woods.
No, we're talking about the woods. I'll save that one for last, though. That's the best one. Mm. A man was pumping gas at the Barnes Crossing Kroger and left the door open. Mistake number one. A small, slim white woman pulled up and started talking to him about his new truck. While they were talking, she began to look around inside his truck. After she drove away in a small gray car, he noticed his cell phone was missing from inside the truck. Okay, first question, did he know this woman? It says nothing about him being alarmed that she's just randomly going through his truck. Unless he was, I don't know.
Wait, when she was looking, I would thought maybe she was just standing by her car and looking. So I was wondering like how she got to the cell phone. But you think looking means actually rifling through
look
the things?
Look around inside his truck is what it says. Hmm. Like, was he cool with that? Maybe she was flirting with him. He's like, okay.
Yeah, whatever. Dig around.
I don't get that.
I want to know if this is like a scheme too. If she's like, you know, driving around gas stations and.
But who leaves their freaking door open when you're pumping gas? Yeah.
Apparently, enough people do for the scheme to work.
I've never done that.
It's kind of like that African prince thing, and you ask for your bank account, and they say, you know, who gives her? But apparently, enough people do it.
Apparently. So, yeah. I don't know what to say there, buddy. Close your door. Katie Anna Lane man said a woman was outside his apartment yelling at people who were not there and hitting his vehicle. The woman told deputies that she had been hit in the head. Well,
that'll happen.
I think she probably apparently took a blow to the head, judging by her behavior, yelling at people that are not there. Unless they're invisible people, it's possible.
These may be more of a woods people.
Could be yelling at dead people.
Yeah.
Ghosts. Okay.
I see dead people.
A Shannon woman said she was riding with friends and stopped along County Road 185 to show them the creek. One of the friends, I don't know.
I was like, is that it? And they were arrested promptly.
Hey, look at that crick over there, man.
Oh, I hate crick. Look at the crick.
They were from out of town.
Let me show you the finer parts of Shannon and Lee County.
Here's the crick.
One of the friends grabbed her keys and cell phone and took off running. This is what I don't get. Okay, these people, it says, are friends. So they see each other quite often.
Not anymore.
Just going to grab her phone and keys and take off running like you're not going to see this person again?
Bye, Felicia.
Like you're going to get away with that somehow? I don't understand that.
That's weird.
Okay, well, I know where you live, so I'll just come get them back later.
I was going to say it sounds more like three-year-olds fighting over toys, and she's just been wanting that cell phone, and it's mine now.
I don't know. Let's go down to the creek. I'm going to take her phone. Well, y'all are distracted by that pretty crick.
Look at that crick. Bye. Melissa, come back. No. Look at the crick.
Oh, boy. A Tishomingo.
It's like a really stupid version of Mice and Men. Just look at it. But then instead of shooting them in the head, they just ran away.
Spoilers. No.
I'm sorry. I ruined a Steinbeck novel for you.
I haven't read it yet. Just kidding.
Did Steinbeck write my? Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. It's like, did I just?
Right, this next one is about the most redneck thing ever. A Tishomingo woman said she and a friend were moving mattresses to Boonville. The friend was sitting on the mattresses in the back of the truck.
No.
riding
Please
along.
Please tell me an 18-wheeler came by and flew him out of there. Lifted him up off the
hold
back.
On. He was sitting on the mattresses in the back of the truck, you know, so they wouldn't fly out. When the wind picked up the mattresses and the friend.
Yes.
He was transported to the hospital for medical treatment.
No, he was transported across four lanes of highway. Then he was transported to the hospital.
Well, thank God he was riding on mattresses and, like, not wooden pallets. At least he had a soft landing.
You don't know that he landed on
True.
It.
True. But at least that was
the mattress could have landed on him.
All right.
I'm guessing he landed off the road, because if he lands on the road, I'm thinking he's maybe dead.
Depends on how fast they were going.
True.
What is more redneck, this or sleeping in the sand pits?
Wow, yeah, because last week we had the sand pits.
We had the what now?
Remember the guy fell asleep in the sand pits?
I wasn't here last Monday.
Was Emma here?
Yeah,
that day?
Yeah.
The guy fell asleep in some sand pits out in Lee County and woke up and his wallet was gone. He was hanging out with some friends in the sand pits, as people do.
These friends are all connected.
As you would, yeah. Of course.
I'm just going to catch some sand.
We're going to go. Everybody goes, hangs out in the sand pits on the weekends. Thing to do,
Mr. Sandman.
And the guy woke up. The guy fell asleep in the sand pits.
Yeah. I'm just going to take a nap.
Yeah, woke up with some sand in his shorts, but no wallet.
It gets everywhere.
It sure does. So, yeah, that's pretty redneck as well.
So you cast your vote on what is more redneck at memo@journalink.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, memo@journalinc.com. Email us your vote. I'd go with the mattress thing. I mean, it's 2016. I rode in the backs of trucks all the time growing up, including, like, I remember as a kid, when we lived in Clinton, we rode into Jackson to go to Jackson Mets minor league games, and we'd be riding in the back of my dad's pickup going down I-20. No biggie.
Well, you know, that's...
This was the 80s.
But you in the back of a truck is fine. You on top of a mattress
is it something
that's going to catch some wind. The wind's not going to lift you up.
This guy wasn't too heavy either.
He
must
have
been a lightweight.
Especially going up... I guess they're going up 45.
I guess if they're going...
Tishomingo to Boonville?
Well, Tishomingo
from
woman.
Tishomingo. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was reported... It must have happened in Lee County because it was a Lee County report. So maybe they were going from Tupelo to Boonville.
Yeah, in the middle of it.
I don't know. Anyway.
That's unfortunate.
A Morville mechanic said a man came to the repair shop and asked him to work on his wheelchair.
A Morville man.
Morville mechanic said a man came to his repair
auto mechanic shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
When the mechanic said he didn't work on wheelchairs, the man cursed him, threatened him, and then drove off in a blue Oldsmobile.
I was expecting him to drive off in the wheelchair.
Yeah, me too.
So much for
it. Has wheels. Why can't you fix it?
I thought this was going to be the woods, Brad.
Oh, we're getting there. I mean, I guess this guy could also fix
my chair.
You could just bring your tricycle by to get fixed too, or your lawnmower because it has wheels. So that's obviously
no. It had a motor in it. Sure, that's what I assume it was motorized.
It could have been a motor. Yeah, probably
that's
motorized.
That's why I assume he went to the.
Maybe had a flat tire. I don't know.
Yeah, oh, could have had a flat tire. That's true.
So yeah, gives you that idea that the auto shop will fix my wheelchair?
Well, but if you put yourself in, like, if you've got a broken wheelchair, where do you take it?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
So there are places in town that do that.
I'm pretty sure there
not are. Not mechanics.
Maybe not Morville, though. I don't know. All right. Roll my sleeves up for this one. Get loose. Drum roll. Thank you, Chris. Derek's got his head in his hand.
Already.
I just don't like these. They unnerve me.
As a woman arrived for work at a Morville truck stop... She saw a white man.
This is the opening to Smokey and the Bandit 3.
She saw a white male walking behind the building, looking suspicious, I guess, because when he was spotted, the suspect ran into the woods.
No.
We're not done. He then reappeared.
No.
He then reappeared, waved at the woman, and then ran back into the woods.
And then disappeared.
Yeah.
Into the woods.
Disappeared into the woods after he came back and waved at her. Like,
hi, Martha! They just called.
So let me put this together.
No, I got it.
I'm trying to go through his thought process. He's lurking behind this building, so I guess he's up to no good because
Maybe he's just got a crush on her. Maybe this is totally unrelated to the other people.
It could
in
be
white.
It too. You know, you see a girl you like, you get kind of scared and you run
away. Then you come back, you're like, hey,
well,
and then you're out.
Okay, I'm worked up some nerve to at least wave, then I'm running off again. Yeah. I don't know, because otherwise, if he's acting suspicious...
I know it's you, Margaret!
If he's acting suspicious... It's me again, Margaret. If he's acting suspicious, if he's up to no good, why would he even bother coming back to wave? Unless he thought maybe it was someone different. Then you realize, oh, I know this person.
It's Jenny. It's not Jenny. I feel so stupid. I'm just going to disappear into the woods again.
Oh, he was taunting.
Huh?
He was taunting. He was up to no good, and so he ran away. Then he realized they'll never catch me. And so
he might have checked to make sure nobody built a baseball field in the woods.
You know, that's been my first thought.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is this heaven? No, it's Morville. I could have sworn it was heaven.
What's the difference? So, yeah, another mysterious figure disappearing into the Morville woods.
And so he could have been wearing white, right? I mean, it didn't say.
So he wasn't not wearing white.
Right,
he was a white male.
Okay, so wait, let's put the three together. The first one,
we had the woman a couple weeks ago in the white coat coming out of the woods and into someone's driveway threatening to harm their children.
No, she wanted to pick up the kids, and then she was going to kill.
Yeah.
Either the kids were going to kill the woman. I need more.
Somebody was going to die, basically. And then she left.
She was threatening to murder the children, or the children were going to murder the other woman in the driveway. Yeah,
we were never clear on whose children they were either.
Either threats way, very made. Frightening.
Very frightening. Then the next week we had...
Not either way. The children killing the woman's a little bit more frightening, I would say.
But Children of the Corn. Or mm-hmm.
Children of the Morville Woods.
Yeah.
See, Corn. See, there's two. We got Children of the Corn and we got Field of Dreams. We've got two connections going there.
And then we had the guy in the white t-shirt walking up asking for a ride into town, saying, hey, I'll pay you $20 if you give me a lift. Mm-hmm. Lady said no, walks back into the woods.
Disappears.
And now we got this guy. Could be the same guy.
Could be the same woman, too.
Well, now you're blowing my mind.
It's all connected. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Exactly. That's what's going on.
He waved. It was the woman who didn't give him a ride.
Maybe so.
And he saw her, and he was ashamed.
You know what? I'm game. We're doing a live memo from the Morville Woods next. We're doing a remote.
You know what else? M. Night Shyamalan's career kind of has tanked. Let's pitch him a script based on this. He'll probably take it.
Let's get Kabir Gupta.
I'm pretty sure wasn't this The Village?
That thought a while ago too. The Village.
What a terrible movie.
Get Kabir Gupta.
I liked it for some reason.
Winning filmmaker.
Yeah, Kabir Gupta could make that for us.
The Village was a terrible movie.
I liked it. It was for what it was. It was kind of it was creepy.
But it wasn't.
It was to me.
But it ended up being nothing.
Well, I know, and that's.
And then it was in my.
And I never saw it coming for some reason.
And then, spoiler alert, there's an airplane that flies over at one part.
I don't remember that. I thought the first reveal.
Did you ever see The Village?
I thought the first reveal.
Do you know what it was about? Okay, so.
Well, it came out like 12 years ago. We're going
to
spoil it.
So it's supposed to be like colonial, like 1700s in this village, and they're surrounded in a circular.
Yeah,
by woods. They've taken everything else down, so they've just got their village. There's probably like 50 people live in the village, and it's like Sigourney Weaver and John Hurt and
Sigourney Weaver in there.
Yeah, a bunch of these people.
Well, I know. Sure, Ron Howard's daughter is in it.
Yeah. Bryce Dallas,
Adrian Brody.
Joaquin Phoenix. So there's this creature that lives in the woods, and they're like, don't go in the woods, or the creature will get you. And so one of them ends up getting sick, and they need medicine.
Yeah.
So they're like, "You've got to go in the woods." But and Bryce Dallas Howard's blind.
Yeah, she's blind,
and she goes through the she goes to go get Joaquin Phoenix. Anyway, the twist, because it's M. Night Shyamalan, is it's actually 2004, and these rich people have bought this wildlife preservation area with thousands of acres and built this huge wall because to get away from technology and mankind.
And like they all had somebody that like get murdered and they're tired of the crime.
So like she gets to the wall and climbs over it. And then there's like this state trooper driving down the road that finds it.
I'm trying to remember the reveal, the twist of that. It's really current day. I didn't like that so much because I think that actually they cut to the office that M. Night Shyamalan, his character, was in.
Because he's in every movie. He's the sheriff.
Right. Yeah, I want to say that was the first scene, or maybe it was her getting over the wall.
No, it was her getting over the wall, and it's still a dirt road or something, but all of a sudden this like Land Rover comes pulling up, and you're like,
what? That may be
you, Shyamalan, you got me again.
That may have been the point at which M. Night Shyamalan started trying too hard.
No, I think that was Signs.
Now, Signs was good. Now, the ending was a little questionable, but it was still a good movie overall.
Well, why are the aliens going to come to a planet that's 70% water?
That's the thing. That's why I don't. That's the part I didn't like. Was the really water is what's going to kill them?
Why are you going
to
land on a planet that's almost all water?
You could have come up with something else. I can't even remember why they were there. to be honest. It wasn't for the water, was it?
I don't know.
Well,
no, because the water killed him.
Exactly. So I don't understand that. Still, overall, a good movie.
Freaking Shyamalan.
I know. I like...
That's what's going on in the woods. It's a Shyamalan movie. And I don't want the twist. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what these three people are doing. If they're connected, if they're the same person. Some cop's probably just having fun with it. Like, I'm going to say it came out of the woods.
He's just writing fictional crime reports. He's working on his next novel.
He's listening to the memo. He's like, I'm going to give him another one out of the woods here.
Serial crime reports.
Oh. He's slipping us in. We're like his test case to see, like, which chapters will stick.
Everything's connected. Like Lost going on out there in the woods.
Yeah, I never saw the rest of that series. Let's
see if another one comes up and coming. Well, yeah,
we've got a bunch of reports already come in to the email inbox today, so we'll see what we got. Can't wait. Mm. You can find all of these reports at tipsheet.djournal.com. And that's it for this show, Derek. We should probably go. I got stuff to do. So do you.
Well, all right then.
I'm just saying we've been talking people's...
You have this to do.
People's ears off for probably way too long about...
Woods.
Conspiracies and M. Night Shyamalan.
All right.
And all that good stuff.
All right.
You can find us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. You can find me on Twitter at Brad Locke, if you dare. You can find Derek on Twitter
at W. I'm on there at W. Derek Russell.
There you go. Chris Kiefer's on Twitter.
At Chris Kiefer. Two Fs.
Two Fs.
You only hear one of them.
First one's silent, I think. Anyway, you'll figure it out. Also, be sure to check out djournal.com to check out everything going on in sports, news, and entertainment in Northeast Mississippi. And follow us on Twitter at djournalnow. Okay. Good show, Derek.
Good times.
Good times.
Good times. Good times.
We'll be back on Wednesday, won't we? Yes, Wednesday.
We will.
Okay. Super. I hope everybody comes back and joins us. What do you stop, Derek?
I'm not doing it.
You know I stink at these outros. I can never end a show. I'm like, you do a great job. Us again. Bye.
You're so good at what you do and your work.
Okay. Okay, Derek, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, Derek.
No, what? I said say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye to everybody.
Not to yourself, smart aleck. Y'all have a good day. We'll see you next time.